Hey, it's Linda Ferguson of NLP Canada Training here with something a little different for this podcast. At the end of December, I published a short ebook called From Language to Action in NLP Basics. And I thought I'd walk you through the first half of that ebook in this podcast. And the first half is about how do you get yourself to do stuff? How do you use the language in your thoughts to drive action? Most of us have had times when we think we are going to do something, we tell ourselves we should do it, and we don't do it. So this will help you understand that you need to go through four different stages to make the connection between your words, the result you want, and actually getting stuff done. We start with the idea that getting stuff done through language for yourself is a lot like getting other people to do stuff. And here's why. Most of your behaviors are driven by unconscious process. You don't think about them, you don't label them beforehand, you just do them. And so we need a way to communicate between that voice in your head that you're aware of thinking, the voice that uses language to think, and that much bigger self that's driving most of your action. Many people call that bigger self the unconscious mind. We do that, I think, for a couple of reasons. One is if we have a conscious mind and an unconscious mind, they seem equally powerful. And that is a comforting thought for your conscious mind, because actually your unconscious mind is a much bigger, faster processor doing more things than your conscious thought. And so consciously, it feels a little unnerving to be attached to so much power. And unconsciously, you have all this ability. So using this term, unconscious mind, kind of balances the conscious mind, makes it seem similar and sort of equal, even though it's not. The second advantage to using this word unconscious mind is that it makes us think that the unconscious mind has the same kind of characteristics we associate with our conscious minds. And rightly or wrongly, we tend to believe three things about our conscious mind. We believe it's reasonable, that it works logically. We believe that it is knowledgeable, that our conscious mind contains information, and it's information we have gathered and information we have generated and created through our years of lived experience. And we believe that our mind is purposeful, that it has a reason for thinking what it thinks, for doing what it does. And so we think our unconscious mind must also be reasonable and knowledgeable and purposeful. And even when we can't know it very well, we can now assume we know something about it. So how do we make a connection between the conscious mind, the mind that has language, the mind that is ready to tell us what to do, ready to tell you what to do, and your unconscious mind that may or may not be a mind and is not really unconscious but is more like super aware? How do you listen to yourself? And the easiest way to do that is the way that you might have learned if you've done any mindfulness training. It's simply to become aware without judgment of what's going on in your body, in your perception, as your mind becomes quiet. What do you notice? And this quiet, non-judgmental, just labeling of experience. This is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm hearing, this is what I'm seeing. These are the thoughts that are interrupting this moment of quiet, this using language just to label experience, not to judge it. It has the effect of quieting the noisy voice in your head, the conscious mind, and therefore allowing different images, awareness, different thoughts, even different language to pop into your head as a result of connecting better with your whole self. When you have established that you are ready to connect with this whole self, you get to make a choice about the state in which you want to do this thing that you think you want to do, this thing that you are going to use language eventually to communicate. And state in NLP is a word that just means that sense of who are you as a whole person at a given moment. Sometimes you might be really focused, sometimes you might be really open, sometimes you might be really motivated, sometimes you might be willing to take it slow. Every action you want to take, there's an appropriate state. And that state might not be the state you're in as you begin giving yourself instructions. So after you have established this kind of quiet connection, you now get to choose where do you want to go with it. And the first place you want to go is to a state that will be useful to you. Now, ways that you can change your state, there are two. You can change your body or you can change your mind. So you can just notice now, what are you feeling that is maybe interfering with your ability to listen to this podcast? And just let that go, not by thinking about it, but by pulling your shoulders back, straightening up. Feel as if there's a balloon tied the end of your spine, pulling it upwards. Take a few deep breaths and let them out slowly. And you'll just notice that it becomes easier to be present and focused. So when we change our body, our breathing, our posture, the expression on your face, if you smile long enough, you will feel happier. And your movement, if it was possible, if you had headphones on, you could go out and you could swing your arms differently, relax your hips differently as you walk and move. You could choose to climb stairs. So anything you do that changes your physiology will change your state. And over time, and through NLP practices, you can begin to associate certain kinds of physiology with certain states that are useful to you. The other way to change your state is to change your imagination, change your mind, not by changing your opinions, but by changing the way you are imagining experiences that might not be present now, but that are in your stored memory. And you can pull them out because they are memories of being in a state that would be helpful. And this is also connected to your body because in order to enter that state again, you're going to need to imagine it as if it's happening now. You're going to have to notice what you were seeing in that situation, how you were hearing sound in that situation, and what was happening in your body. And you're going to use the words you tell yourself, imagine that time, remember when, as a guide to activate your senses and your body. Once you are in a useful state, then you can start to work with ideas, with information. And when it's information, you are feeding yourself, so you will do something. You are most often concerned with changing the meaning of information so that you are motivated to change your behavior. Now, the way our brains work, and the way our minds work, they're connected. We bring information in and we relate it to mental structures, mental representations, sometimes called frames. And this is our kind of box into which we put the new information. As long as you put information into the same box, it's much harder to change its meaning, because meaning doesn't shift much within the same context. What you want to be able to do is get confused about what it means, so you can open up a new possibility that will demand new action. If the meaning you were giving to all the information you had would drive action, you'd already be busy. And if you're not, it means you need to offer yourself a different way of thinking. And this is extraordinarily hard to do for yourself. You're likely to do it in conversation with somebody else, or by reading. Sometimes you might find another model, and you can very deliberately and with willpower impose that different way of thinking on the information you have. And there's a couple of other things you can do. One is you can choose a metaphor. Now, a metaphor is at one remove from your actual situation. Your actual situation might be that you want to lose some weight. But when you think about it, you think it's always such a struggle. I feel like I am climbing uphill every single day. And that's a metaphor. You're not really climbing up a hill. And struggle is sort of, what are you doing there? It implies something happening, when really, if you're not losing weight, it's probably because not much has changed. So you take that idea of struggling up a hill, and you'd start to ask yourself questions about, well, what's it really like to struggle up a hill? And as you thought that through, you might say, well, if I wasn't struggling up a hill, what if I was on a really long hike? How would that be different? Now, you've gone from one walking metaphor to a different walking metaphor, but you'll find as you explore the idea of what it's like to be on a hike, that you have to reinterpret your experience of trying to lose weight. And maybe you're just waiting for a break. Maybe you need some water. Maybe the scenery is about to change, and when the scenery changes, you'll find yourself with new energy. So metaphors are so natural to us that we use them all day long without even thinking about it. We talk about things lightening up or getting dark, and we don't think of that as a metaphor, but it is. When we change our metaphor deliberately, it gives us access to new possible meanings for the information that we already have. And those new meanings might give us incentive to get busy. Now, when you have what you feel like is new meaning or new information, then it's ready to actually give yourself that nudge to take the ideas and turn them into behaviors. You've got to do something. And when you think about this, most of what is going to drive your behavior is that big unconscious mind. And it's smarter than you and faster than you. It has more connections, more processing power than your conscious mind. If you were to meet somebody who had all that power, you probably wouldn't just snap orders at them. And while there are times, particularly when safety is involved, when you might get away with snapping a quick order at yourself, most of the time, you're going to want to make a more respectful suggestion to yourself. You want to begin by knowing what the result is that you want, by be able to imagine the action before you do it, and then describe it just in terms that are the term as if it was happening to you, so that you can know what you will be seeing and feeling and hearing as you do it. And just being able to say what you want in terms of the senses allows you to hold the idea. It makes that idea sticky. You want to acknowledge that goal you have might be reached in more than one way. And the way you do that is you want to use language like, I could do this, I might try this, or I wonder if this would work. And what you're really doing at that point is motivating yourself to have more ideas about which action you need to take to move forward. And finally, the kind of language we have that is most effective in suggesting movement are stories. Stories are metaphors with movement. They're metaphors where action happens. And you can become more aware, if you feel blocked, of the kind of stories you're listening to and the kind of stories you're telling yourself or telling other people. And you'll find that if you deliberately pay attention to stories that have action in them, you're more likely to take action. This, of course, is radically simple, but let me give you just one kind of idea of how to tie all of these things together. Perhaps there is a chore that needs doing, a chore that you have been putting off for a long time. It's likely that you've been putting it off because while your brain tells you in words over and over, you've got to do this, your conscious mind is saying, you've got to do this, you've got to get that task done. You know you've got to get that task done. It'd be really good to get that task done. You haven't stopped and you haven't listened. And if you just stop and listen to, how do I feel when I think about doing that task? Sometimes you'll find you haven't done it because it's not the most important thing. Sometimes you'll find that there's a particular obstacle, but it begins with sitting non-judgmentally with, how do I feel as I think about this task? When you've got that kind of connection, you think, well, what kind of state would I need to be in to think about doing this task that I've been putting off? And maybe you have a house cleaning state. Maybe you have a state where you can sit down at a computer and plow through a lot of work. Maybe you have a state where it's easy for you to be physically active. So you want to match that state to the thing you've been putting off. And you want to start talking yourself into that physically, in terms of your senses, as you imagine being in that state, what you see, how you hear, how you experience your body in that state. And then when you're in the state, go, hey, okay, what is it I want to do exactly? And you imagine yourself doing it. You mentally rehearse yourself being active, doing that thing. Now, it's likely that at this point, when you're in the right state, when you have connected to yourself, and when you have imagined exactly what you need to do it, you'll probably just get up and get busy. But if you haven't yet, now you got to tell yourself how to be active. And that's making that respectful suggestion. This is exactly the step I want to take now. And this is how I'm going to see and hear and feel as I take that step. And now I'm still stuck, so let me tell myself a story about a time I felt like this and I got busy anyway. And as you have that memory, that there was another time that there was something you were putting off, and finally it was just time to get it done, and you just did it. And as you go through that experience, it's likely that even as you're listening to this, you want to get up and get busy doing something. This is basically the same four stages you walk somebody else through when you want to use your words to get them to do something. And it's the heart of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming techniques. If you want to know how specific techniques fit into these four steps of connecting, choosing a state, choosing a meaning, and then suggesting action, please look at the link below and click on the link. You'll have 40 pages to take your time absorbing. And then when you're ready to be able to do those techniques, then you can engage in further study to learn how to do the different techniques so that you have lots and lots of different choices for taking an idea and turning it into a concrete, tangible behavior that leads to a result that you like. I'm Linda Ferguson, NLP Canada Training.